What's your middle name? Is it Ryan?
No.
That's what's your social security number?
Anthony?
Anthony. Wow, you nailed it.
Is it Anthony?
It is Anthony.
Okay.
Oh, mine too.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice. Liz, is yours Anthony?
No, it's Anne.
Oh, spooky.
Get close. Anyway.
Johnny?
It's Joseph.
Man. You're fired.
Sorry.
John Joseph O'Mara. He's a strong man and he has two horses.
John Joseph O'Mara.
Watch him fly around the plains. Yeehaw! Oh.
We open on the Uhuru as people from Nordia are spread out around the dock. You can see the red shirts of the dock workers as they move around the ship, making different like marks on various clipboards and whatnot. You can see members of the crew of the Uhuru with hammers banging on the side of the ship, trying to open the cargo doors in case of need for any trade or anything like that. The rest of the crew is kind of looking around excitedly, knowing that they've got Skamalik on the hull. The ship is going to be here for a few days, and they are flush with credit, at least. So they are happy to open up the ship's coffers and have themselves a bit of shore leave, especially aligning coincidentally with another festival.
Well, all right. Yes, we just expect to be paid to do work on your ship. As long as you're staying in our port, you'll be using our labor.
Of course, that's fine.
Well, good. It looks like this is going to be quite the job.
Yeah, we may have passed through several clouds bearing a bunch of sea barnacles, so how about we just start work on that and see where we goes from there?
All right, sea barnacles?
Air barnacles.
Sky barnacles.
It's
been a long couple days for all of us.
Good. Yes, we will begin scraping right away, and we will assess the costs later.
Thank you.
You're in luck. You've come just in time for Bacchanalia.
Excuse me?
Bacchanalia.
No, we heard you. We just need more. What does that word mean?
It's a springtime festival.
Oh,
there's going to be lots of singing and dancing and drinking.
Oh. Hmm. What was your name again?
My name is Alvin. I am the head shipwright here at our docks. So if you have any questions about the kind of service that you're receiving or any other requests for different service, please feel free to call out for Alvin.
Alvin! Like that?
That would work. Okay. It seems a little bit more stressed and perhaps angry than it would need to be.
Do you have... This is weirdly forward. Do you have any brothers?
I do. There's Leo and Theodore.
Well, that's... They look just like you, but only a little bit different.
And your dad?
Yeah.
Dave?
Yeah.
You've met my father.
Yeah.
We know.
See, a music producer. What is this? DJ? Music producer? What's his job?
It changes, I think.
I don't remember.
He does take advantage of the labor of his son, so that's kind of problematic, isn't it?
And do you and each of your brothers have girlfriends who are sort of analogous to your deal?
Yeah, pretty much. I date a woman who's kind of like the leader of her thing, her situation.
The bookish ones read books together.
I forgot to mention, I'm really dedicated to the craft of repairing and servicing ships. Some people say that, oh, I'm overcommitted to that and call me the ship monk.
Ooh. Ooh.
Just because of how much meditative time I spend thinking about ships and servicing and repairing.
I see you're also a terrorist as well.
Man.
A goblin and a nightmare to all who know you. Wow. Wowzers, Bowsers. That. Oh, boy.
Hey, that sucks.
Hey, Alvin. Hey, Alvin, I want you to look me in this right now. Hey, Alvin, I want you to eat a dick. Eat an entire penis.
Well, we'll see if you're still saying that after we service your ship. I'm sure you'll be satisfied with our services.
I'm sure we will. Do you have a little song? Have a little song? No, okay.
You're wearing all red. What's the color coordination of your brothers and girlfriends?
It's a strange thing for you to assume that, but I think definitely blue. I've got a blue brother for sure. And I think the other is green.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, you're right.
Nailed it.
Short green brother, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Well, we've done this bit to its entirety, I think.
I don't think so.
What more could we get out of this?
A jaunty tune, perhaps.
Yeah, and we don't have to continue now, but maybe we'll come back and be sort of a squeakquel. And then perhaps if you don't do a good job on our ship and we crash somewhere, we would be, of course, shipwrecked. Those are the legal titles of the films. I'm sorry.
And now we would like to leave.
Yeah, I think that's that episode for sure.
You know, if we go to one more town and there's a festival, that kind of solidifies the pattern. And we're partying.
It's Halloween town. That's we're in the forest with all the holidays.
I feel like the amount of campaign arcs that start with an NPC going, "You're in luck. It's just in time for blank," is astronomical.
Following the same pattern as Star Wars campaign. There was a music festival and then a bounty hunting convention. It's the same.
Well, it's just it's fun and there's a lot of people.
Yeah, who wants to go to a town where nothing's happening? That's dumb.
That's true. That's true.
You're in luck. There was actually just a murder.
Festival.
I think you are walking out of Alvin's office where you've just finished signing the paperwork to allow the Uhuru to stay for whatever repair. There was an option for a record deal on the table that you gave to Alvin and his brothers after you heard them do a song, but they could tell that you were evil in your heart, and the power of friendship managed to fend that off.
This is true.
That's fair. Well spotted.
So, you know that something is profoundly wrong with Travis. At least Travis does instinctually. Gable has had a rough couple of days. Jonnet might be okay right now.
He is having a great time.
And you're in a new place. What do you want to do?
I'm going to the shrine.
You're just going to make a beeline to the shrine. Okay. All right.
Come on, Travis. Ooh, we got to see stuff. Come on. Don't you want to hang out at a tavern or something like that?
Not now. You can.
What? I
need to find out what's wrong before it's too late.
It's too late. You'll just... it'll be fine tomorrow, won't it?
Yeah. You always bounce back. That's kind of your thing.
I don't know this time. That's what I need to find out.
Well,
I think like all of this time, he's been nervously sort of doing drawings like of the luminaries. Oh. And every time he keeps like the drawing that he does, the changeling is like never there.
Yeah, the changeling is never there. I think also it's worse than that, you keep pulling, no matter what different configuration you do for your readings, you keep pulling the island, which is just disaster. It is the worst possible card in that deck.
Is that so?
Yeah, it. I mean, it, for those that follow tarot, it's like the tower, but there's no wiggle room for interpreting. Oh, this is just a card about change. Mm. This is the curse of the hateful sea.
It's funny that we haven't pulled that ever.
Yeah, it's wild. Because
we get the butcher all the time.
Yeah, and the butcher is bad. The butcher is certainly bad. Mm. There are bad cards in that deck, but the island is the worst, and it keeps showing up. I think Travis might even feel the temptation to shuffle the island away at times, but it might hurt his ability to get real information.
Yeah, and I don't think, as much as Travis loves to cheat, I don't think this is something, I don't think this is the type of thing where he would ultimately choose to do that.
And we've also kind of established that he doesn't cheat.
That's true. He's just good. Well, but I mean, stealing and lying are cheating with your heart.
Mm-hmm. In the eyes of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Yeah.
Jesus
Christ.
Yeah.
The Christian God.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
I think it's important to make sure that everyone knows that Christianity is true and canon in this world.
And we're all just in pursuit, and that's the ultimate.
Well, that's why things are so bad here, because there are no Christians, but Christianity is true.
Yeah. I think we'll find out ultimately that it's like the Dark Carnival.
Yes.
Where it's all just Christianity.
Yes.
Yeah, so I'm gonna go to the shrine.
Okay. Before we follow Travis to the shrine, what do other people want to do?
Well, I certainly hope it's buy me a coat.
Don't worry. We'll find you a coat.
Thank you. But, Jonnet, I want you to promise me one thing. Whatever you do, make sure Gable pays for it.
What?
I promised I'd pay for it.
Oh, okay.
I trust you know my measurements.
Yeah. 30-30-30.
Yep, nailed it.
I love my square boys.
I'm a cube, thank you.
Three-dimensional, if you please.
Okay. I think Travis is going to walk off from the group, leaving Jonnet and Gable standing together. Is the captain coming with you, or did he return to the ship?
No, he's just hanging out on the ship.
Okay.
I am more than a little concerned. I know this is probably something Travis needs to do on his own, but I know that it's close enough to sunset that if something goes wrong, one of us should be around. So I'm kind of like,
oh, follow me. I dare you.
I'm following.
Are you sneaking?
Am I sneaking?
That's up to you.
Ooh, let's sneak.
Yeah. Okay. So Travis's perception.
My sneaking is so bad.
And you're so big.
It's so big.
So you are against one red and two purple dice. You also have a black die because you're just enormous.
My stealth is already only two. Anyway.
Oh my God.
You said a red and a purple?
A red, two purples.
And a black?
Yep.
Why do I do?
I hope you get it.
A red and two purples. Okay. So
this is good stuff. These are the decisions.
That is actually just three threats.
No, that's a failure in three threats.
No, that's a success.
I mean, it is. Okay, so there are no failures. It does fail.
Yes, but it's just three threats.
Learn the game.
Mm-hmm.
I read it.
Gable did it right.
I mean,
Liz. I mean, whatever.
Doesn't matter.
Wait, James, are we people to you?
No. You're bone-filled meat dice.
The okay. Voice boxes.
Voice buckets. Mm-hmm. failure and three. Well, it's just three threats, but it's not a success.
I think so. Jonnet, if Gable is following Travis, like
actually, can I roll to stealthily follow Gable?
Oh my God! Yes.
Yes, of course you can.
Oh my God!
Now, how hard is that going to be?
Gable, what's Gable's perception?
One yellow.
So that's one red die that you're
one
proposing.
Red die. Great. Because I'm just like I start to walk away. It's like, hey, Gable, just go ahead and do whatever you feel like you got to do. I'll take care of the jacket, and I'll get the price, and I'll get. Don't worry about it, okay? I'll be fine.
And then, we're Scooby doing it, just like boing boing boing.
Okay, so that is two successes and an advantage.
Incredible. Incredible.
So,
wait, no, but that means Jonnet was able to follow me.
Yes.
Yes.
Who I assume Gable is just tumbling.
I think Gable, like, as they were leaving, they thought they were being really sneaky, but then they like hit their head on like a shop sign that was hanging above the door.
Mm-hmm. Oh, ow.
Greek.
Sticks a foot in a bucket.
This is all happening in like the first like 30 feet of you trying to sneak. Yeah,
I think this pursuit does happen in the winding cobblestone streets of Nordia. And you can see, yeah, like...
I'll take 3 strain because I keep on hurting myself.
This is a community full of people and bustling businesses. You can see people, like, emptying water from, like, flower pots and whatnot. And there's just a string of haphazard coincidences that in normal movies would just be coincidences that covered up Gable's presence. But, of course, because Gable's so tall, everything goes wrong. In Gable's wake and all the chaos they're causing, a huge body is Jonnet, who is just like...
Just walk.
I think... Exactly. Yeah.
I think Jonnet starts to follow Gable, and he gets behind them and opens up his eye and is about to like take the perfect route to be sneaky, but then he sees all the mayhem that they are causing, and he just slowly, just casually puts the bandana back over his eyes and just puts his hands in his pockets and just kind of strolls behind them.
That is an interesting bit of flavor that you just added to the scene. You flicked your eye open there. Tyler, I think you see something that you were not expecting to see, because as we know, when you open your eye, you see pathways and possibilities that are in front of you.
Skyways and byways.
Skyways and byways, baby. Because you got advantages on that roll, right?
I had one advantage.
One advantage. Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, we'll give this. So with one advantage, this isn't super detailed information. You see the lines that guide the paths that this world is going to take around you. And you see destruction not very far from all of them.
Oh, okay. Yeah, as Jonnet is kind of giving up on the stealth bit, he's putting the bandana back on. And then right before it sort of closes up the eye, there is this vector that kind of veers off. And it's like, just an ominous feeling, and he doesn't know what to do with that.
It feels cold. It rips your chest and your heart. You can feel your heart struggling to beat. It is familiar.
Gotcha.
So very familiar.
He reflexively like covers his head as if that's going to just black out the vision outright. He takes a second. He looks back out to the port where the Uhuru is, tries to shake it off, but then kind of continues on.
A few feet in front of him, Gable face plants into a puddle of mud, gets up, hits their head on...
You could say their body hit the floor in a way. I know that's not puddle of mud, but whatever. It
says you did good.
Their vision is blurry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Was that band 3 Days Grace that
yes,
I was trying to
it
think
was.
Of?
You did it. You did done did it.
Hey, we all did it. We all remembered that bands exist.
I was trying to conjure the name of that band last
without
week.
Googling it. And then the tension is broken.
Okay. Yeah. So Gable, you've had this path and you're about to reach this bridge. Travis stops because Travis knows that you're there. Mm-hmm. He knows that you're following him. So there are 3 threats in this situation. What do you do or say?
What are you expecting?
Nothing. I'm just here. Just in case.
In case what?
In case things don't go right.
They've already gone wrong. I just want to know how wrong.
Okay. Jonnet?
I mean, they don't know Jonnet. Jonnet is successful.
Jonnet is successful.
You look back to down the alleyway where Jonnet was. No, there's nothing there. And then we pan up because Jonnet is like on the roof looking down at everyone.
Just,
I'll stay back.
Stay on that side of the bridge.
Okay.
Travis crosses the bridge, and I think there's not like a building. I think there's, you know, like a structure with a roof and like pillars. Mm-hmm. And inside, I think that there are, and correct me if this doesn't fit in with whatever. Mm-hmm. There's like a back kind of altar, and there are small figures of each that represent each of the luminaries.
Okay.
And then in the middle of the like temple, there's a stone table. And Travis like walks up to the table and starts to draw cards.
So there, I think you're right. This temple, shrine, what have you, is constructed out of the same wood and hardy construction that the rest of the town is made of, though it's more open construction. It's not an insulated building. And there are these small stone clay figures that make up the various luminaries.
I think maybe in front of each of them are either in front of them or attached to them or both. There are luminary cards that people have put as like sort of offerings to them.
Yeah, I think there's a collection of different types of offerings. Some are cards, some are little bits and ends. There are beads, there are the packed parcels of food, maybe small bottles of alcohol, dried flowers and whatnot. Various bits and bobs that people have offered to the luminaries for luck, for protection, for forgiveness. And Travis would walk right up to that table if there wasn't someone sitting at it already. Someone that makes his heart almost stop because they look uncannily like someone from your past. Travis, please describe this person.
Have we described what she looks like before?
No.
Okay, cool.
No, you've got free rein.
Three peg legs.
Shut up. I fucking.
She's a tripod lady.
So from behind, you can just see long, like dark curly hair. And that's actually all Travis can see right now because they're facing the altar.
Yeah, that's what we see from the back. And then we're going to cut to a shot that is facing this person, framed by the back of the shrine, which we can see has like a painted wall that just has scenes from the various critical stories that make up the tales of different luminaries. And we can see framed by the sun, the afternoon sun coming in, is Travis. We see his face as he looks at this person. Please describe the rest of them.
So it is a woman in her, I would say early 20s. Yeah, like very early 20s, I think. And she's, what's like the style of dress in Nordia?
It doesn't have to be a style of dress from Nordia, actually. This woman will be from outside this community.
Then I think she's wearing the same type of clothing from like the city where Travis is from.
Yeah, I think it will be a practical dress that you can move in.
And I think that the specific like kind of style and cut would be to everyone would look like vintage.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Travis understands that it is vintage now, but it is of a time that he remembers from when he was actually young.
And it's actually quite a beautiful garment made in green and white and gray. It frames her very well. Even though she has an air of the working class, this is clearly not someone who is a noble. She is
very healthy and quite beautiful. There's a bit of an alluring glamour around her. She was looking down at the table and she looks up, just feeling the presence of someone walking into the shrine.
I think Travis knows that it isn't her. Like, deep down, he knows that it isn't her, but he can't help. He's so startled by seeing her that he can't help but, as he takes her all in, just he can't help but call to her. Margaret?
Hey heroes, it's James, your game master. I am finally back from vacation. I went straight from the beautiful social waters of the Joko Cruise immediately into self-quarantine. But I'm making the best of it, and part of my quarantine means I'm going to be working pretty furiously on creating more content for you, because otherwise I'm going to go completely feral. Speaking of completely feral things, this episode features a new song by Arnie Parrott. That's another thing that is pretty much brought to you by this whole pandemic situation. A lot of folks in and around the One Shot Network have lost work. Being creative people, most of our day jobs are considered non-essential. On the one hand, it means during a pandemic, a lot of our performers have the opportunity to stay at home. On the other hand, it means they also don't have access to their regular income. I've been trying to have One Shot fill the gap with a few make-work projects and extra recordings. The new song in this week's episode is kind of part of that. But unfortunately, One Shot is not an infinite money machine. Believe me, I've checked. So on the next few days, we're going to work on efforts to get money into those people's hands so they don't lose their apartments or have to worry about food or utilities or other essential things. Also coming up pretty soon, we're going to be launching the Kickstarter for Skyjack's Courier's Call. Now, some of you might be thinking, is it the wisest thing to start a Kickstarter in the middle of a pandemic? And I'll answer that with, I need these people to get paid somehow. Also, I kind of have the feeling that this is a very good time to produce as much entertainment as possible to keep people occupied during these stressful times. If you're interested in that Kickstarter, please sign up for the Skyjack's mailing list to find out about it as soon as we have details. That's going to bit.ly/skyjackscrew. As soon as we have a firm date on that Kickstarter, we will release an email there and let you know a few things to expect. Finally, before we get back to the show, I want to take a quick moment and thank some of the people who helped bring you this week's show. Our Patreon backers. Eric R. Thank you so much. H. Frace. Thank you. Sequel D. Thank you very much. Abhinav Narayan. Thank you. Jeff Forsey. Thank you so much. Micah Lynn. Thank you. Jeff. Thank you very much. Matt Garza. Thank you so much. Dean L. Updegrove. Thank you. Steven Scoville, thank you so much. And Dave Trachtenberg, thank you. And those names actually finish out our batch of thank yous all the way up through November of 2019. So if you're a one-shot listener and you want to become a Patreon backer and hear your name on air soon, I'd recommend heading to patreon.com/oneshotpodcast and signing up as soon as you can. We're going to be compiling a new list of backer names as soon as we can. Now, with all of that out of the way, let's get back in the sky.
Margaret?
She looks up and turns around. Excuse me?
I think when she turns to look at him, he now is 100% sure that it's not her, but he's also still so taken aback by how much she resembles the person he was thinking of.
I'm afraid I'm at a disadvantage. You seem to know me, but I've never seen you before.
Sorry, I thought you were someone else.
You thought I was someone else named Margaret?
What?
You, I assume, came looking for me. I'm not working right now, I'm afraid, but I can still speak. Obviously, there a fee could be assessed depending on what you need to talk about.
No, they're already scraping the barnacles.
I'm sorry, did you say your name was...
Margaret, yes. You knew that. I'm assuming you knew that? Who am I speaking to? You're very nervous.
Travis. Madigo.
Travis, you don't talk to people often, do you?
You'd be surprised.
That's not what I meant. You don't talk to people genuinely.
Well, sure I do. I mean, lying's fun, but sometimes I, you know, tell people when I'm hungry or whatever.
Travis, I'm assuming that you were sent to me for a reason or sought me out for a reason. You found me here, and I want you to know that if you're going to speak to me, I need you to really speak to me. Otherwise, I can't do my work.
I came here to find something for myself. I wasn't expecting to see
Most
anyone.
Most people who come seeking me are looking to find something for themselves, I assure you.
No, I'm sorry, I don't know you. You just reminded me of someone. And it's just a terrible coincidence, I suppose. But the luminaries have a way of willing such things.
I can see that. You look quite disturbed. Here, she scoots her collection of cards to the side and gestures for you to come next to her.
That's a beautiful deck.
Thank you. It was a gift. Payment, really, but given as a gift.
They say the ones that are given as gifts have the greatest connection.
Tell me, do you often tell bits of trivia to new people that you stumble across in a terrible coincidence?
Well, if I know, you know, kind of fun facts, I'll tell him. Like, did you know that there are 7 ways to make a maelstrom, but only one of them is right?
Her eyebrows like go up at that. That is new information. But why are you telling me?
No, it's just the first fact I thought.
That's because you're not thinking clearly. I know that.
Well, I've kind of had a day.
Well, Travis, as I said, I am not working now, and I wasn't planning on working during the festival, but I did come here, and I was expecting to be alone here. You showed up anyway.
I can come back.
That's not what I meant. I think...
Where are you from?
Aruan.
Does that mean anything to me?
That is the Red Feather capital. Dang. Essentially, it is one of the largest cities in the setting.
Should I have known that as a person?
No.
Okay.
okay, wait, let me
You
walk
brought
that
it up like a sec, like
yeah.
last arc. But.
So a person who is a dedicated player to on this specific podcast.
Yeah.
Absolutely 1000%. A
wow,
normal me. Human being? No.
Okay.
Cool.
Then I don't feel bad.
Extraordinarily.
You should
cruel.
Not feel bad. I did not confront you with this. And good. The only way I would have been making you read things that I wrote, and that's just
who wants to
happen.
Do that.
Yeah.
Are you with them?
No. No. My goodness. Absolutely not. No. I would probably be jailed. I mean, I should be jailed. Oh. I probably wouldn't be jailed, but I detest working with them.
Oh, well, if hating working with them is, you know, a crime, then I should also be in jail. There are also a lot of other crimes I've committed. I should be in a lot of jails in a lot of places, and I have been. Once I was there with, you see that big, tall bozo?
We can see out one of the windows in this place. There is like a rock or a tree.
It's like it was looking at a rake on the ground and accidentally stepped on it and hit her in the face.
we were actually in prison together once. They were very bad at it, at being in. They're bad at most things.
As I was saying, Travis, I wasn't planning on working, but I think I might have to.
Does Travis know what she does?
I think as she says that, she turns to you and moves her hair behind her shoulder. And you can see her neck. On her neck, there is a tattoo of a black lily. And with that, Travis would know a lot of things, maybe some of them correct, maybe some of them incorrect. I would like you to make a knowledge adventuring roll.
Okay.
And this is going to be, oh, we'll say average.
Okay. No. That's a wash.
Okay. That's a total wash?
Total wash.
Okay. How do I make a total wash interesting?
You don't.
You've heard a story with a black lily in it.
Okay.
It was told to you as a kind of fable, and the lily played a judgmental and wrathful role.
Ooh.
In it. I think by the end of the story, the lily ended up poisoning someone.
Is that all he knows?
I think in the story, like you know, in the story, the lily was a prostitute. And that probably, like, that's enough common knowledge on ships. Like, when people on ships get to the crass talking of sex work, they're usually talking about rubies, which are a class of escort and courtesan in Aruam who are extremely fancy. They will talk about, you know, just the people that you will see working in various brothels and bordellos around Sphere. And some of them will talk about lilies in kind of a you got to be careful.
So he knows that they're real and not like a fabled, like, secret society or something.
He knows that there are a lot of stories that people pass around about them. He's never encountered a lily before. It's not like a thing where a ruby. You know rubies are real.
Gotcha.
You know they exist.
Oh, I see. Like I said, I was just coming here hoping to find some peace and some answers.
I know.
Well, no, but no, I wasn't anticipating anyone being here except for, again, that one, the big one.
But you're injured.
Oh, it'll be fine. Just need a good night's sleep, I hope.
Typically, that sort of wound doesn't heal with sleep. Doesn't heal unless you tend to it.
Well, I'm not your typical fellow.
Would you mind if I did a reading for you?
It's been a long time since someone else has done one for me.
Consider this an application. She takes her deck, she collects the cards and shuffles them up, and looks at you. She goes, "Would you mind looking into my eyes?"
Does she take his cards or her cards?
I think hers.
Okay.
Yeah. She's got hers. Would you mind looking into my eyes?
Sure.
She holds your gaze, and those eyes are the same. It is uncanny. And the longer you look, the harder it gets to not think about that.
And her expression does not change while she shuffles. She holds that gaze. And very quickly, she looks away as she looks down to the deck. I know that must have been uncomfortable for you. And she pulls out a card, and as she pulls it from the deck, it tears. And you can see she places down on the table half of a changeling.
Oh my God.
Travis, I don't know what you know about people like me, but I can assure you a lot of the information is wrong and a lot of the information is right. I know you're probably not looking for what you think I'm trying to offer you, but I can assure you that you need what I have to offer.
I think that the combination of staring into her eyes and seeing the drawing, I think it makes Travis feel like nauseous, like physically ill. And yeah. I think he throws up. I think he knows enough to get away so that he doesn't like throw up on her, but he
or like on a shrine.
Yeah. But I think he like sort of leaves the temple and goes to the, like he throws up in the water.
Yeah.
For on like kind of a small island.
Tentatively behind you, Margaret exits the shrine and is sort of like looking down at the torn luminary. There is concern in her eyes, maybe even a bit of fear.
I'm sorry about your card, and I can replace it.
Believe it or not, Travis, that's not the worst drawing that I've had today.
You and me both.
How about you buy me a drink?
Okay.
Let's cut over to John.
On a roof somewhere.
John, you're doing the Naruto thing.
Yeah. Running, arms behind you.
Arms I'm full behind. Stumbling everywhere because it's not a practical.
One day, John, it will be Hokage.
Nerd.
Were you going to continue to try and follow Gable as they nervously mama bird around their friend?
Well, I mean, at this point, Gable is... Did they cross the bridge?
No.
I think they probably respected that request from Travis.
Just sitting on a little stone.
So I think, yeah, if Gable's just like sitting on a stone, Jonnet walks up behind Gable and without saying anything, just holds out, reaches an arm around them and just gives them like a Band-Aid or just some gauze. Like, hey, no, whoa, careful. Don't, no sudden movements. You've really, really beaten the crap out of yourself in the last block and a half.
I'm fine. Thank
you. Are you sure?
No, Gable, I need this very badly. Thank you.
Do you want some alcohol?
No, it's fine. It's fine. Because
I already did. And he pulls out a bottle of, oh, wait, what's the
bog wine?
Thank you.
Bog wine.
He pulls out the bottle. They didn't have any plum wine, so.
Where did you get? Where did you get that?
I got you this bottle, and
Jonathan, where did you get the bottle?
It was on a cart that didn't have any. It was just being pulled by a horse, and the horses don't drink this, so I got this for you.
You know what? I've decided to be fun. So I'm not going to chastise you for stealing, and I'm going to thank you for this wine. Okay. Thank you.
Here you go. Yeah. Wow. Gable, isn't it fun to be fun?
Gable's drinking the whole thing.
Oh, my.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I don't even know what the roof is. That boy.
Tosses it into the river. John, you're the only person I'm like, you know?
Wow, you're drunk immediately.
I'm not drunk. I'm just honest. It's going to take a lot more for me to be drunk.
That and sign that Gable hit was thick wood.
Look, Travis is in there.
Okay. It looks like he's out there. He just threw up in the water.
Oh. He's talking to someone.
Yeah, what's this? Does Travis have game?
I don't know. We don't ever really let him talk to other people.
But he still finds his way in positions where he's talking to other people.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, I mean, do you still want to watch him? Do you want to, I don't know,
let's
pick something out?
Let's keep our distance. Let's, you know what? It's a festival. We're going to have fun. I'm fun.
Yeah. Oh.
We're going to have fun. Gable and John,
it's saying
time.
It that way, it's gonna happen.
I'm fun. A fun person to be around. And I
you
don't
know what?
Ruin people's bodies and minds. It's, yes.
You are very fun, Gable. And I know a horse-drawn cart that's got a lot more bottles of fun on it. And no one's checking it, so how about we just go back over here, okay?
Okay. You're the only person I like.
Jonnet, I think you can see that cart that you're referring to moving down the cobblestone street, being driven towards what is more the center of town. Around it, there are strings where flowers have been strung up and brightly painted and dyed banners have been hung from it. And the two of you can hear clapping and the sound of music coming from that direction.
Bonjour. Bonjour.
Bonjour. Bonjour.
It's too expensive.
I love that I can see your cat's little tail poking down.
Just like,
yes, she just leapt up. So while as they start, like they turn around and start walking, Jonnet leans over to, let's just say there's a vendor, and he pops down two silver pieces and just like grabs a couple flowers and just puts a flower in Gable's hair and puts a flower in his hair. And then we're gonna be fun today.
My favorite thing about putting a flower in Gable's hair is we've established Gable has an undercut right now.
Yeah.
So you just kind of stuck it
into a bun.
Like a unicorn.
Yeah. You also had to absolutely climb them.
Well, yeah, I assume like whenever we're going to be going through the market, like Gable's got, Jonnet is going to be piggybacking.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. So Gable hauls Jonnet up onto their shoulders.
I think the size difference is probably like Hagrid and Harry.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
First time in Diagon Alley.
And you can hear the sounds of singing. It reminds you very much of being in a pub and that part of the night where people start singing sky shanties.
No one drinks like
Gaston. No one drinks like... Oh, wait, this is not going to sync up at all.
But, like, as you're going through, like, Gable and Jonnet, because you are up so high right now, you have a really good view on a corner of the square as you start to break into it. You can see people in brightly colored clothing holding up bottles to each other, knocking them back, swinging them around, singing these joyful songs. It is a really bright and cheery mood all around, which is... And you feel fun. You feel like, actually, this could be great. There are no oppressive corporate military forces in this town. There are no family members from noble houses that could be causing you trouble. You're here for the next couple of days, but soon you're going to be back into the sky on your way to rendezvous with the Tempest Armada and get paid out a pretty sizable amount of money. Life could be really good.
While we're taking that all in, Jonnet I would say he's holding Gable's head just for sturdiness to keep him upright. And so all this joyfulness is happening. And then there's just like a small little hint or like a prick of just that feeling from earlier. And he tenses up over on Gable's head for just a second. And then he eases up again because we're having fun.
And into the frame, Gable lifts up a little cake to him.
Oh,
John, it! Have it! I found a cake!
I found a cake.
Here! And then he offers it to John, he offers it to Gable to take a bite, and then he takes a bite, and then they're eating cake in tandem.
Yeah, and it is delicious. It is this, it's not traditional cake. It's flaky and glazed with just a nice bit of icing.
A cronut.
Yeah, there's a really good contrast, and it's clearly something that is baked with love. Not only that, but the cake itself is really decorated. The frosting is bright, and inside you get this tart taste of cranberries that have been clearly incorporated into the baking somehow. Everything about this place feels great. And then you round the corner and fully see the square. And you can see all of the cheer and the excitement is taking place in the middle of town, where there's like clearly a statue there that has been decorated for this event, covered in flowers and again, bright dyed and painted scarves and banners. And this statue has been decorated in a very strange way, because at the center of the statue, surrounded by all the flowers and lots of these different ceramic bottles that have also been brightly painted, there is a human corpse, a desiccated man who has skin that is incredibly pale. He looks both remarkably preserved, unrotted, untouched by the decay of death, but so far from life. The feeling makes your stomach drop. As you can see people dancing and laughing around this horrible dead thing.
Gable looks up at Jonnet.
Jonnet looks down at Gable. Jonnet takes the cake and offers it to Gable.
Gable eats a little bit of the cake. Gives it back to Jonnet.
Jonnet eats a little bit of the cake.
Happy Bacchanalia, good travelers!
Not now!
I think that's where we'll end the episode.
Yeah.
All right.
That's good.
That's good.
That's good podcasting.
This rules. This is a good show.
So we return once again to the long line of applicants in front of the skyship Uhuru. One of them waddles off the line and approaches the stool, and after eyeing it with careful consideration for a second or two, leaps gracefully atop it and crosses his legs.
Hello.
Hello? What is your name?
My name is Otto Van Veen. I'm sorry. My name is Otto Van Veen.
Excuse me?
I'm an explorer, adventurer, and gentleman. Nice to meet you.
Why didn't you know your name in the first place?
There's quite a few parts to my name, and it's very alliterative, and I am not used to talking yet. But I will grow accustomed to it.
Were you not talking before?
Yes. As you might have noticed, I am a feline person, dressed in the clothes and boots of a man. I was cursed by a witch with sapience so that I might understand existential dread.
Look at how cute you are.
Yes, but life has given me lemons and I've earned my way up to the rank of a...
have a scritch. Can I have... do you want a scritch?
Well, I absolutely want a scritch.
Do you want a scritch? Oh, here.
I'm not going to enthusiastically walk over. I'll walk around you a little bit first, and then I'll get slowly a bit closer and let you touch me for a few seconds before... Ah! Away, you cur!
Well, if you would care to introduce yourself and your deal with a song, then we will decide whether or not you will be chosen to move on to the Heaviside Lair.
A song?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Because that you either you are hired here or you pass away. Anyone who we have not accepted is dead.
Is it possible for me to present to you a dream ballet of some kind?
Sort of. Some people do more of a talk singy sort of thing, but it still needs...
You could hire Taylor Swift to sing the song about you instead, perhaps.
Exactly. And it doesn't rhyme.
Does that work?
Well...
Kind of.
Okay, okay. If you would like me to sing, how jellical do you want it?
Extremely. Extremely jellical.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay. So, Otto Fan von Veen hops down off the table where he was getting scritches and
I assume Arnie will just write a song that'll be on the album.
Oh, yeah. Great. Great. So for this Dear Uhuru, we'll make our good friend Arnie Parrott write a song for us.
In the style of Cats.
In the style of Cats. Based
on... with the rhyming scheme. T.S. Eliot's. Okay.
Well, since none of you seem to know who I am, I suppose a little bit of an introduction would be fine. Let me bring in my sexy singing cat friends. Now, who am I?
He's Otto Van Von Veen.
Oh, that seems right.
The finest cat you've ever seen.
Why, thank you.
He's got a jaunty cap of green.
Well, look at that.
He's Otto Van Von Veen.
Now, when you're hosting a particular party, be it a birthday or a jellical ball, and you wanted to have a sort of je ne sais quoi, you give Otto Van Von Veen a call. For when the dinner is finished and the dancing is done and we're chatting in the conversation din, there's that one crucial moment where we all lock eyes, and that's where Otto Van Von Veen steps in.
He's Otto Van Von Veen.
Oh, what a nice party.
The finest cat you've ever seen.
His
coat's a milky sheen.
What are we doing this?
He's Otto Van Von Veen.
You guys want to have sex? So now the ice is broken, the unspoken's been said, but we're agreed, the suggestion is fair. But nobody seems to want to make the first leap. Thank God Otto Van Von Veen is there. I demonstrate a few sort of basic moves, just a jumping off point, you know, to start. And then a careful lecture on the rules of consent, for Von Veen is obscene but still smart. What's my name?
He's Otto Van Von Veen.
And what am I like?
The finest cat you've ever seen.
And what do I do?
He makes sure everyone feels serene.
So serene.
I'm Otto Van Von Veen.
Here comes the bridge. And when we're in the swing of things, who's making things much hotter?
Otto Van Von Veen.
And who is by the bed reminding you to drink your water?
Otto Van Von Veen.
And who has fully stocked your linen closet with new sheets?
Otto Van Von Veen.
And when the orgy's over, tell me who has ordered pizza?
Otto Van Von Veen.
It's me.
Otto Van Von Veen.
It's me. Yes, I'm helping. Here we go.
He's Otto Van Von Veen. I'm the hottest cat you've ever seen.
La da di da di da di da.
A vibrant orgy scene.
He's Otto Van Von Veen. I love to fuck.
So then we cut to after this song has been presented. The world around you is covered in glitter. There are several half-human, half-cat abominations strewn about the place, striking post-dance poses. Otto Van Von Veen is in a shirt that has been ripped open, his chest bared and heaving in front of you. And he is just holding a dance power pose on the table in front of you. Well, what do you think?
Truly incredible.
I feel strange, but I think that's good, right?
That's probably the feeling that we were going for. I don't know what else we could have been going for.
That's fair. Well, obviously we can't hire you.
Why not? Why ever not?
That was disgusting. Just overall upsetting.
Wait a minute, wait a minute. Let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater.
No, Spit, you get no say in this.
I think this gentleman has awoken something in me.
No, it was awake all along and we all know it.
We all know it.
There is something compelling about the idea of having, in the canon, cats, creatures aboard our ship to call upon whenever we may need a jellical flare to whatever we're doing.
Actually, I think you're right.
Now hold on. Allow me to be the voice of reason. It's too much. It's too much all the time. It's a nice treat once in a while.
Yes, we can have a little cats as a treat every now and then.
As a treat. All right, I'm going to pack you up in this nice box, and you're going to stay here with us.
Oh, goody. I love being inside the box, but get your hands away from it, you filthy cur.
Here's a scritch.
Ooh, yes.
Here's a scritch.
I do like this very much.
All right, you'll come and sing whenever we want you to.
Well, fuck you, Arnie, I guess.
Whenever we need bonus tracks on our album, we'll...
They're gonna be cats.
You'll come out and sing.
Campaign Skyjacks is a One-Shot Network production. For more information, be sure to follow us on Twitter at @CampaignPod for updates about live shows and other events we might be doing.
In the universe of Starwall Odyssey, space is made out of the collective imaginations of all the thinking beings who live on various planets. These worlds are connected to each other through imagination. Common themes and ideas are strings between universes. And to get between them, people fly wooden ships that look like animals, which are powered by emotions. Also, people communicate with each other by contemplating orbs. The only way you can take pictures is getting stared at by a big psychic bug. And people have already declared victory in a war over the very concept of evil. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Starwall Odyssey follows the adventures of the hapless inhabitants of the Lucky Finn tenement building, who suddenly find that their apartment is actually a spaceship, and that they're lost in a sea of boundless imagination. It's an actual play starring me, James D'Amato, Mel D'Amato, Ali Grauer, and Drew Merzieski, as we playtest the No Kings system, which will hopefully one day be the Skyjacks role-playing system. It toes the line between weird and wonderful slice of life and high-flying space fantasy. You can sample the first 5 episodes by searching for Starwall Odyssey on your favorite podcast app, or get the whole thing by heading to patreon.com/oneshotpodcast and signing up for $5 a month or more. You can find more great gaming shows over at oneshotpodcast.com. Jonnet Kessler was played by Tyler Davis, who can be found on Twitter and Instagram at Tyler A. Dave. Gable was played by Liz Anderson, who can be found on Twitter at @LizAnderson__, or on her podcast, Paired. Travis Madigo was played by Johnny O'Mara, who can be found on Twitter at @JohnnyInBriefs, or on his podcast, Dilettante Ball. I am James D'Amato, your host and game master. You can find me on Twitter at OneShotRPG, or on my other podcast, One Shot. The original music featured in this production was composed and performed by Arnie Parrott. You can find Arnie on Twitter at @ArniePArrott. And you can find more of his work at atptunes.com. This episode was edited by Casey Tony, who can be found on Twitter at @CaseyPony, spelled CaseyPony, or on his own podcast, Neoscum. Our logo was designed by Fiona Shea, who can be found on Twitter at @FionaPup. The world of Sphere was inspired in part by the music of the Decemberists and the card game Illimat, property of Together Studios. The game used in this production is a modified version of the Genesis role-playing system that was created by a talented group of game designers who were fired by a private equity firm owning Fantasy Flight Games. There are no kings. Take flight, heroes.
You've ever been kind, and once for our friends ne'er to rise. Twice to the dearest we're leaving behind, who know we can never deny the call of the skies.